Today with Joseph Prince.
I want to tell you this, that God has a place where you can be safe and secure. And every day He wants you not just to know mentally that you are seated with Christ, but every day you come to Him and say, Father, I thank you. Use that place. Amen. I say it reverently. Use that place. Amen. Say, Father, I thank you that my family and I are safe and secure in Christ risen. And we are far above every principality and power, far above depression. So you can't say wisdom, but God gives you wisdom, and the wisdom brings in the physical money. Amen? Amen. So what we need is the wisdom of God. We need the spiritual blessings. And the Bible says we are all blessed with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To Jesus be all the glory and the praise. He is the risen one. Christ is risen. You know, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, you find that every time they preach, they talk about the resurrection of Jesus, even more than the cross. All right, the cross is very important, of course. That's where it all happens, man. That's where our Lord Jesus bore our sins and bore our sicknesses, carried them all away, amen. But they preach in the book of Acts. You find that they preach every time there's a sermon recorded, you'll find the emphasis is on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean for us today? The resurrection of Jesus. Now, Jesus was raised not in the same way that the widow of Nain's son was raised from the dead, only to die again, or in the same way that Lazarus was raised only to die again. Jesus is raised from the dead with a glorified body, never to die again. And the Bible promises that we, in the book of Philippians, our bodies will be transformed. These vile bodies, it says, will be transformed like unto His glorious body. Hallelujah. Anytime soon, the Lord is coming back for us. Amen. Hallelujah. He's coming back for us. The Bible says, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I know right now, in some circles, it's not popular to preach on rapture, or people try to explain away the rapture, saying that no such thing as rapture. Well, friend, the word harpazo is a ceasing away, and there is no way you can spiritualize the rapture. It's a mystery that God revealed to the Apostle Paul, and he says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall not all die, but we shall be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, in an atomos second, in the Greek. We shall all be changed, and our bodies will be incorruptible bodies. Amen. Glorified bodies like Jesus' body. Amen. That body could appear and disappear. It is no more confined in time and space. Amen. So likewise, our bodies will be the same. Amen. You'll never get tired again. You'll never feel bored. You will never, never, ever feel sickness or infirmity in your body. You'll never suffer those things. Any of those things that's from the fall, amen, of Adam, that we have inherited in our bodies currently, we won't have it in our bodies anymore. Amen. That's what the Bible says. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, it's one thing to be alive because you are young. You're 10 years old, 17, 25, you know, but we who are alive, that's one group. But the other group is remain alive. We who are alive and remain. And Paul said it twice. We who are alive and remain. It's one thing to be alive because you are young. Another thing to remain alive. It denotes power. In other words, just before the rapture, there'll be a revelation of overcoming sickness and disease, of overcoming death, a revelation of long life, so that these people will be like Simeon. God promised Simeon in the first coming of Jesus that Simeon, the elderly man, that prophet of God, will not see death until he sees Yeshua, until he sees Yeshua. And when he held the baby Yeshua in his arms, he said to the Lord, now I can depart. My eyes have seen your Yeshua, your salvation. Isn't that beautiful? You know, God works in patterns, same principle, same pattern, like the book of Ecclesiastes says, that which was is that which shall be. Amen. So in the first coming of Jesus, the Lord revealed himself, or the angels revealed the first coming of Jesus, that unto you is born this day in the city of David. Who were the group that they mentioned it to? A group of shepherds. So likewise, I believe in the second coming of Christ, or even the rapture. We do not know the day nor the hour, but we know it's soon, imminent. But He will reveal it to His shepherds. How do you explain that verse? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, even though momentary right now, let's follow let's submit to the authorities of the land. They have our interests at heart. Amen. Please do not second guess their motive. They're out to make sure that you stay alive during this crisis. Amen. They are for us. They are not against us, people. But the Bible's best, of course, is not to forsake ourselves. But notice the latter part. It says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, the Lord will cause this coronavirus thing to come to an end. Hallelujah. Amen. So that we can gather ourselves together, so much the more as we see the day approaching. But let's not do it, you know, in rebellion. Let's not do it in a way that jeopardizes others and all that and say that, you know, God will protect us. All right? You got to have faith and you got to have wisdom as well. And it's time to apply wisdom during this time to show forth a good testimony. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. And friend, I just want to share with you that you might think that this life right now, being quarantined or being confined to your home, is the new normal. But no, the Bible tells us very clearly in Matthew 24, Jesus talking about the end times before His coming. He says that no one knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven, but My Father who is in heaven. For as like the days of Noah, people were marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking. All this implies crowd. And notice that? So life was normal. Life was back to normal just prior to the coming of our Lord Jesus. But on that day, the Lord would come without them being aware. And that's the problem with them. The life becomes so normal, they forget about the coming of the Lord. And I believe that part there cannot be referring to the second coming of Jesus bodily at the end of 7 years of tribulation, because the moment we know we are in the year of tribulation, we can number seventh year to the seventh year, we know He's coming back. But this one here is talking about no one knows the day nor the hour. So it's the rapture. And I believe that just prior to the rapture, and the rapture is so soon right now, so we know that this coronavirus thing will come to an end and life will go back to being so normal that many people forget the Lord and not even look or even take warning from the Lord's words that He's coming back soon. Okay? So praise the Lord. I want to share a now word that I believe is going to bless you and your families back home. And I believe that God has spoken this word in my heart, and I just want to share with you. So sit back, relax, and receive the word. Stay tuned, because every word, I felt that this teaching today is more prophetic, and God will show you things that God showed me last year. He gave me a word, or rather 2 years ago in 2018, gave me a word about a new strain of healing coming upon the world. God has released something into the world, a new strain, if you would. I'm using that strain in inverted commas, a new release of anointing, a new anointing of healing in the land that will cause miracles that is unprecedented. Miracles like you've never seen it before. But the devil can see what God is doing because he's a spirit being and he is playing catch up. So he released things. But when the devil does things, he's always doing things in the sense realm. He's doing things in the physical realm. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's take this analogy from the times of Moses. When he was born, just before he was born, prior to his birth, you find that the devil instigated Pharaoh to kill all the Hebrew babies, right? All the male babies. Amen? Now, why did that happen? Because the devil knew their deliverer was coming. So the devil was playing catch up to something that God has done. Same thing during the time of Jesus. The devil knew that Jesus was born, but the whole world was oblivious to it. But the devil knew God has done something first. God has initiated something profound, something wonderful, something great. And the devil knows it, but the world was silent because when he was born, it was quiet. Only the angels appeared to the shepherds, saying to them, unto you is born this day in the city of David, but not to the whole world. In the palace of Herod, life went on as normal. They were partying, carousing. But on that night, God did something already. But it is not visible to the eyes. It is not something that you can touch and feel. And that's what, when God does something, because we are so flesh conscious. We are so we are people that go by the visible, forgetting that with God, the things that are visible, even this stage, this table here, this stool here, will all pass away. My jacket, my clothes will all pass away. Even my flesh, this flesh you can see, is not the permanent flesh. I'll have a glorified body and I'll be better looking, I'll tell you that. Okay, but anything you can see is temporal. Anything that's visible and tangible is temporal. With God, the things that are invisible is eternal. But we are more conscious of the, we feel like the real life is that which is visible and palpable and tangible. But God is saying, no, my blessings are spiritual blessings that produces that which is temporal. So wisdom, for example, you can't see wisdom, but God gives you wisdom and the wisdom brings in the physical money. Amen? Amen. So what we need is the wisdom of God. We need the spiritual blessings. And the Bible says we are all blessed with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. And let's read Psalms 91 verse 1 once again. It says here, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice that this is the verse that is the key to all the promises of Psalms 91, where it says, no evil will befall you, no plague, no COVID-19 virus will come near your dwelling. Where it says, you will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the destruction, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Surely he will deliver you. Not maybe, surely he will deliver you from what? From the perilous pestilence. We are seeing a perilous pestilence right now. And the Bible says that God promises to his people, to those who are in the secret place of the Most High, a place of protection, a place of deliverance. Amen? But we need to settle this phrase here. What do you mean? Because it's a verse that opens up, it's the gateway to all the blessings and the protection promises of Psalms 91. So we need to settle what is the secret place of the Most High. It says here, he who dwells in the secret place. In the Hebrew, the word dwells is sit, yeshaf. And it's spelled like this. All right, so a little bit of Hebrew today. Just brew your tea, sit down and learn some Hebrew. Amen. Yud, reading from right to left. Shin, bet. Yeshav. Yeshav means sit down. Sit down means to rest. Amen. To rest. And for example, in Israel, you hear, oh, that moshav is where I stay. Amen. From the word yeshav, my dwelling place. The reason I'm sharing this is because today there are teachings like only a select few can be in the secret place of the Most High. Only those who are especially sanctified can be in the secret place of the Most High. I even hear things like the secret place is something that, you know, you dwell there, but you don't live there, or it's not a place you come and visit once in a while. But honestly, friend, when we realize the truth of what that place is, you cannot remove yourself from this place. You only have to realize it. Why? Because you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. The secret place is actually the place of the Mashiach, the Messiah of Israel. And in the Old Testament, he is in secret form, all right? The Messiah is not yet revealed. So he's in secret place, amen. He is the secret place, praise God. And we are now the dream of the psalmist to dwell in the secret place of the Most High where all the blessings of protection will be on you and your family. That dream that he has is our reality. Amen. Look at this verse. The Bible says, amen. Even when we were dead in trespasses, amen. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, notice he has made us sit together. So during this time of a resurrection season, that we remember that our Lord was raised from the dead, the Bible tells us the Lord was raised, he wasn't raised alone. We were raised in him. Hallelujah. He raised us together. Here's the verse. He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. So whenever you think about the resurrection of Jesus, think of it as having a, you have a special interest in it because you were raised in Him. Whatever happened to Jesus, happened to you. And your history with Jesus started not when Jesus was walking by the shores of Galilee, no, not at that time, but when He was at the cross. That's when God put you and I at the cross, and we were crucified with Christ so that the old man, that part that loves to sin, that part that is rebellious, that part that came from the fallen nature of man, that part that is subject to sickness and disease, that part that is corrupt, was crucified once and for all at the cross. Now today, to our experience, the old man seems real, but to God and to faith, it is done away. Hallelujah. It is finished. It is put aside. Amen. And the Bible says we are all new creations in Christ. So your history in Christ began at the cross. God put you there, and whatever happened to Christ happened to you. And He was buried. We were buried with Him, and hence we demonstrate that when we believe on Christ, we are baptized, and then you are raised together with Christ. Together with Christ. And you know how far God raised Christ? The Bible says God raised Him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hey, COVID-19 is a name. And the Bible says God raised Jesus and we in Him far above every name that is named, not only in this world, in the present world, but in the world to come. We have been raised with Christ. And I like to say it like this every morning when I wake up. I like to say, Father, I thank You that my family and I, we are in Christ risen, far above the COVID-19 virus. We're going to see more of that in a while. But notice that our history began at the cross. And from then on, we are irrecoverably, I like to say it that way, forevermore in Christ. Amen. God cannot remove you out of Christ, because to do that, all right, He will have to remove Christ. Because today, my real identity is Christ. Amen. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. So I have to realize that. I like what John Bunyan said. In one of his books, he says that one time he was going through the field and he was bemoaning the fact that he's seeing so many, you know, uprising of sinful habits and tendencies and feelings that is untoward in his flesh, in his mind. And he was just bemoaning the fact that he's not as holy as he should be. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And the Holy Spirit said to him, "Where is your righteousness? Where is your righteousness?" And he looked up to heaven, and the Lord said to him, "There is your righteousness, Jesus at the Father's right hand." So friend, if somebody asks you, "Are you righteous?" You say, "I'm as righteous as Jesus." Why? Because Jesus is my righteousness. He is the measure of my righteousness. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now look at this verse. Notice that it says, God made us sit together with Christ that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. In other words, grace is not just a dispensation. It is a dispensation. But grace will go on forever. That in the ages to come, God might show us the exceeding riches of His grace. There's a show coming, my friend. It's a great show. It's a show like no other show that you've seen on earth. Amen? And the Bible says that we'll sit down with Him and God will present a show of the riches of His grace in the ages to come. Hallelujah. Now back to this again. Yeshav, the word for sit down. Sit down. The first thing we got to do in regards to this coronavirus and all that is that you notice that a lot of people are in a state of panic. Many of them are depressed. There are many new cases of people are getting depressed, and psychiatrists are talking about it and on an unprecedented scale. But I want to tell you this, that God has a place where you can be safe and secure. And every day He wants you not just to know mentally that you are seated with Christ, but every day you come to Him and say, "Father, I thank You. Use that place." Amen. I say it reverently. Use that place. Amen. Say, "Father, I thank You that my family and I are safe and secure." in Christ risen. And we are far above every principality and power, far above depression, far above the COVID-19 virus, far above the power of the evil one. And that's in reality what you really are right now in God's eyes, and God sees reality. Now we ask the question, but Pastor Prince, how do you explain that? Because my body is here on earth. I'm tuning in. I'm watching you in the comfort of my home. My body is on this sofa. And how can you say that I'm seated with Christ? Well, friend, God is outside time and space. So is your spirit man. Your spirit man is outside time and space. Amen? You're not confined to time. That's why the cross is outside time. It's outside space. That's why Jesus can die for the sins of all the people in the Old Testament, all the way from Adam, as well as those who came after him. Amen? All of us are the post era of the church, or rather the church that came after. Amen? We are all the future generation. And he died for our sins as well. Why? Because the cross is outside time. Amen? And your spirit man, even right now as I'm preaching, my spirit man is seated with Christ in heavenly places. And your spirit is the real you. You are tripartite. You are three parts. God is a triune God. All right? He's a trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Three distinct persons in one God. God made us in his image. We are tripartite. Amen? The real us is a spirit. We have a soul, our mind, and we live in a body. Amen? If your heart stops beating, you will step out of your body. Amen? If you're wondering, hey, who's that good-looking corpse right down there? And it's you. But you won't be able to communicate with people who are in their bodies because you are now out of your body. But the Bible says we'll not be unclothed. Amen? God will still clothe us with a glorified body when Jesus comes again. So all those who die in Christ now, the Bible used the phrase, they fall asleep. Amen? Because you just step out of your body and realize, even in an accident, right, your body is damaged and all that, you step out, you're alive, you're more alive than ever. Because if you realize it, that body can be an encumbrance. Amen? We have grown accustomed to the encumbrance of the body, that we live with it. We live with the pain. We live with the slowness. But when we step out, we are unlimited. So that's your spirit man. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, I want to share this with you because I like to study some of the Jewish writings and the Jewish sages of the past. And there is one interesting Targum Yonatan. It was probably written in the first century, just first hundred years after Jesus died. And Targum Yonatan was written. And it's believed that Jonathan ben Uziel, son of Uziel, he actually wrote down the oral traditions, oral sharing of prophets Malachi, Zechariah, and Haggai. So that he puts it in one translation called Targum, which means translation, Yonatan. Okay, the reason I'm saying this is because when Yonatan translated the Proverbs 18, verse 14, let's look at this verse. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? And what is interesting is this, when he translated the word sickness, and the word sickness here in the Hebrew is the generic word, makhelet, which means it's just sickness. But when you say, you know, that person has a sickness, what sickness? Does he have diabetes? All right, does he have high blood pressure? What kind of sickness? So the word sickness is a generic word, but in Targum Yonatan, in translating this verse, and I believe that he's accurate, and I believe that this is a part, and not every Targum's saying is from, it's inspired, okay? Some of it, but I think that there's a lot also that I believe is an oral tradition because Malachi, Zechariah, and Haggai were prophets. Even though we call them the minor prophets, they were prophets nonetheless, amen? They're only minor because their books are shorter, okay? But I believe that this one is accurate. You know what Jonathan says about this particular word, sickness, of all the sickness, he used the Hebrew word, corona. The spirit of a man will sustain corona. Now, what's the word sustain? The word sustain here, we think of sustain as, you know, just bear it. Yes, the word bear is there in this word sustain, but the Hebrew word for sustain is actually this word, kul, which means to protect. You can see this in Jacinius' lexicon. It's not just to sustain, to endure, but to protect him in sickness. And because of what Jonathan said in his Targum, all right, we can interpret that as the spirit of a man will protect him from corona. It seems like that part is prophetic. That part probably came from one of the prophets, all right? Those who came back from the post-exile prophet, either Haggai or Zechariah, that part is accurate. It's amazing. It's amazing that this book that was written the first 100 years in first century AD still record down as corona. Amen? But notice what it's saying. The spirit of a man will protect him from corona. We say that a strong immune system will protect us from corona. You know, there's always a danger, my friend, when we start trusting the flesh. And you know that our immune system is part of the flesh. Yes, by all means, you can strengthen your immune system. You can take this and that and all the kind of thing. But it's a good thing for the heart to be established with grace and not with food, all right? Because all food is fallen. No matter how great the food is, it's fallen. We live in a fallen world. Amen. Don't put your trust in creation. Put your trust in redemption. Amen. The Lord's Supper. Amen. The bread and the wine or the juice. Receive that as the broken body of Jesus. Put your trust for your health in redemption. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it says the spirit of a man will sustain or defend him from corona. And our trust is in that position. In Christ alone, the secret place of the Most High. Where we are right now, we need to release our faith by speaking it every day. Father, I thank you that I'm in the secret place of the Most High. You know, every other month now, we are receiving testimonies after testimonies of people who came really close to someone who had a virus. And sometimes even one of the latest testimonies, they actually came down with some symptoms only to find after repeated tests that they don't have the virus. Amen? And these are people who have been holding on to that promise. Amen. The spirit of a man indeed have sustained them, protected them from that corona. Hallelujah. And you know what? If you have corona, you've been infected with it, your spirit man, the spirit man is seated with Christ in heavenly places, will defend you, will sustain you, all right, in this corona. Amen. The corona will go and you will remain. Hallelujah. Amen. So once again, our spirit man is seated with Christ, and that's where we are positionally in the spirit. So God's way to defeat this plague, amen, is to arise higher, ascend higher. As children of God, we need to put our trust in that which is supernatural. That's the realm we live in, people. Amen. Our spirit man cannot be seen, but our spirit man is seated with Christ in heavenly places. So God's answer is always, rise higher, my beloved. Rise up, my beloved. In fact, in Song of Songs, it tells us that God is saying, rise up. He says, come, O my dove that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice, for sweet is your voice and your countenance is comely. Let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. During this time, the Lord would love it for us to just come to Him and realize that place of nearness to God. Because if you're seated with Christ, if you're seated with Christ in heavenly places at the Father's right hand, then God is at your right hand. Right? So you're so close as you pray. You don't have to say, Father, I come to you like God is high up there. You know, these are people who are natural people when they pray. People without people who are not saved, for example, the first time they pray, they always imagine that God is far away. Amen. But for the believer, you are so close. You are in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. And you pray in that nearness, knowing that God is so close to you. And then you pray. Don't pray as if, you know, people say, let's bombard the gates of heaven. Number one, what are you doing outside the gates of heaven? I thought you were in. You ought to be in the place and realize it every day. When you realize it, there goes your fear. Just say, Father, I thank you that I'm safe and secure in Christ risen. My family and I are in this place in Christ risen. We are far above the COVID-19 virus. We are far above poverty, far above the financial famine. Thank you, Father. And notice that in Song of Songs, it says this. God says, let me see your face, amen, and let me hear your voice. Now, we talk about prayer, and prayer is important, okay? But what God wants is for you to come before Him. He just wants you to be there. Even if you don't say anything, He wants you to be there. Notice that, let me see your face first, let me see your countenance, then let me hear your voice. No, I love my boy. He's now 8 years old. He turned 8 last month. Sometimes he will call me and talk to me from the other room, and I can hear him. He will say, Abba. Then he go on making his request. I said, Justin, come over here. Come here. I just love to be with you. I just love to look at him. So don't make your request out there, away, where I can't see your face. I want you in front of me because love desires that. When God says, let me see your face, love is talking. He's loving on you. He wants you to be with Him. He wants you to come close to Him before He hears your voice. He says, let me see your face first, then let me hear your voice. Amen? And then it says here that in the secret places of the stairs. Actually, the passage before this is so beautiful. It says, rise up, my love. Again, the answer is ascend higher. Go to a higher place. Amen. Above all these troubles, ascend higher. Your call, child of God, is that of a prince and a princess. Amen. You have a high call. Not this holier than thou attitude, which is actually people who are earthbound, people who compare themselves horizontally with others. No, when you arise to where God is, where Christ is, you cannot but be grateful. You cannot but be humble. And yet, it is not a servile kind of humility. It is a dignified humility. There's a touch of a royal mind. There's a touch of royalty in your persona. Not pride, not I'm holier than you attitude kind of holiness, but a holiness that, like Jesus, that's approachable. Yet you can see, even though dressed in a carpenter's garb, walking by the sides of the shore of Galilee, you can see him as a prince. You can see him touching and the leprosy goes. Amen. Speaking the word and demons bow. Amen. You can see him. Majestic, noble, princely. Well, when the Bible says God wants to conform all of us to the image of Jesus, that's what God wants for you and I to become. Amen. But the responsibilities of grace, and there is responsibilities in grace in the New Testament, is full of it. But notice the responsibilities of grace is not let us become what we are not. No, respond to grace is like this. Let us become what we already are. So all the exhortations are like this. If you are risen with Christ, notice, seek those things that are above. Since you are risen with Christ, another way of saying it, since you are risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. The Bible says you are complete in Christ. Complete in Christ, right? Now, walk out your completeness as you have received Christ. And how do you receive Christ? By grace through faith. So walk you in Him. How do you walk your Christian life every day down here? By grace through faith. You don't leave the realm of grace. The responsibilities of legalism, of people who promote the law, for example, is in essence, they are saying, let us become what we are not. We are not there yet. We are not that holy yet. We are not this yet. We have not overcome that sinful habit. So let us become what we are not. But grace says, let us become what we already are. And child of God, in God's eyes, you are righteous. In God's eyes, you are complete. Amen? Now that you're complete in Christ, walk out that completeness. Now that you're righteous in Christ, walk it out in the way you deal with your fellow colleagues, in the way you relate to your wife, your family. Walk it out. Amen? Walk it out like the prince that you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Another thing the Bible says that the Lord Jesus is waiting for at this time. He's at the Father's right hand. Do you know what He's waiting for? Watch this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, He must reign till He has put all enemies, say all enemies under His feet. He must reign, not corona. Even though the word corona in Latin means crown. That's what it means, corona. But Even it seems like this small virus is reigning in the earth. It seems. But friends, it's just temporal. It's just temporal. Amen? Because the real reigning is our Lord Jesus. He must reign till He has put all enemies, and I think I'll put this COVID-19 virus as one of these all enemies. He must reign until even this enemy is under His feet. Because when He comes again, there's only one enemy left. Not COVID-19 virus, not poverty, not depression, not addiction, not sinful bondage. All enemies by then, one by one, have been put under His feet. The only enemy left is physical death. And He says, the last enemy, God calls death an enemy. Don't you ever forget that. It's never the Father's dream, even when He made Adam and Eve, that man should die, that man should grow old, that man should have sickness and disease in his body. That's not the Father's plan. God deems death as an enemy. And until you see that God hates death, God hates sickness and disease, you never release your faith to believe God for that. Amen? So here it says, the last enemy, they'll be put under His feet. They'll be destroyed physically. It's physical death. All right? It's physical death. So we are waiting until one. So right now He's reigning. With every passing day, my friend, it might not seem so, but with every passing day, another enemy has been put under His feet. The victory has been accomplished at the cross. But experientially, a king can have victory over numerous countries. But you know what he does after that? In those days, he'll make the king of that country come before his throne, and one by one, he'll put his foot on them. It's a gesture they practiced in ancient times, even Bible times. And those enemies, those kings become his footstool. And we see a glimpse of this in the story of Joshua. Joshua made all the enemies come before his men, and he commanded all his generals, his men, to put their foot on the enemies' necks. It's a picture they'll never forget. Amen? So the Bible says, Jesus will reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. Now, why is that important? Because the Bible says, there's a verse of Scripture in talking about Psalmist David says of the Lord Jesus. Look at this verse. David himself said in Mark 12, by the Holy Spirit. So it's not just a natural utterance of David. It is by the Holy Spirit. He says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Sit on my right hand. So God is here, right? The Father is here. Amen. And I'm seated at His right hand. The Father is not speaking to me. He's speaking to His Son. The Lord said to my Lord. In Hebrew, Yahweh spoke to my Adoni, my Lord. Okay? And by the way, this was the verse that Jesus used to challenge the Pharisees. When the Pharisees made the Messiah as a lesser than David. So David says, how can David call Him Lord? And Jesus said, how can David call Him Lord? When the Bible says, even the Lord, Yahweh, said to my Lord, the Messiah, sit on my right hand. Amen? So David said it. It was uttered by David. So David called Him my Lord. He called Jesus, the Messiah, my Lord. So Jesus is greater than David. He is the root. He produced David. And He is the offspring of David. As deity, He is the root. He produced David. As man, David, He came from David's line. Okay? So the Father says, notice the verse here. The Father said to Jesus, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So we established just now that Jesus will reign, and that's what's happening with every passing day. All right? With every passing day, my friend, hallelujah, come on. With every passing day, one more enemy is put under His feet. The world for us is going to get better and better. Amen? In our world, outside is going to get darker and darker. But for us, every enemy we have, in fact, last month, okay, compared to this month, more enemies have been put under his feet since then. This year, more enemies are put under his feet than last year, because he must reign till all his enemies are under his feet. So the Father said to him, the Father said to Jesus, sit on my right hand. What is that? Rest. Until what? I, not Jesus, but the Father. The Father says to him, sit on my right hand. All right, the Father said to Jesus, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies. Just name all the enemies you can imagine. All the enemies, whether it is addiction, whether it's depression, whether it's some sinful bondage that one is in, name it all. COVID-19 virus is an enemy. It's destroying lives. God is out to save lives. All right? So here we go. God says, I sit when you rest at my right hand, I will make all your enemies your footstool. Amen? But notice what the Father said first. Rest. Rest, and I'll make. But Pastor Prince, that is what the Lord said to Jesus. But we are raised together with Christ. We are seated with Christ. Amen. We are raised with Christ, seated with Christ. Therefore, we must have the same attitude. If you want to see all your enemies come under your feet and you are in Christ, actually it is brought under Jesus' feet. But because you are in Him, it is your feet in Him. So the Bible says to you, sit down. If you want an enemy defeated in your life, sit down. Pastor Prince, I have this depression and I can't sleep at night. It disturbs me at night and I find that the world is getting darker and darker and my mind is getting darker and darker. I do not know how to get out of it. The more medicine I take, the more I'm in bondage to more medicine and I get into a cycle. I can't live without that. But yet, you know, those medicines making me more depressed. That's hope, my friend. The first thing you got to do is rest. The first thing against any challenge in your life, if the devil presents a new challenge, it's a new sitting down, if you will. If the devil says, what you can do about this? You say, nothing. The Father will make you my footstool. What are you going to do about the symptom in your body? Nothing. The Father will make that my footstool. Amen? When I say nothing, it doesn't mean that if the Spirit of God leads you to find some information, to go to a doctor or whatever, you ignore that. No, no, no. But I'm saying that your spirit must always be at rest in Christ, risen at the Father's right hand. Amen? But many a times when you take this posture, even that symptom goes away. And the devil says, well, times are bad, right? Will you still have a job in a few months' time? Or you're unemployed? Are you able to get a job, especially during this season that the world is in? And God is saying, how do you respond to that? What are you going to do? The devil is saying, what are you going to do? And he will use the mouths of people as well as the press and all that, saying to you, what are you going to do? The impression is, your responsibility is you. But God is saying, you do nothing. Sit. You just sit. With every fresh challenge that comes, there must be a fresh sitting. When the devil tells you what you're going to do about your finances, you just say, well, you know what? I'm going to rest. Here's where all the voices start screaming and say, you are so irresponsible. You are so lazy. No, no, no. Rest is not laziness. Rest, when you are rested in Christ, you'll find promptings of the Spirit getting clearer. Amen? So rest is not inactivity. Rest is Spirit-directed activity. You are busy, but yet you are at rest. If you use the analogy of the Bible says you are the temple of God, and the temple of God is three parts. You have the outer court, where the animals are, the sacrificial victims are slain and put on the altar. Then you have the holy place, where you have the menorah, the lampstand. You have the table of showbread, the altar of incense. And then the Holy of Holies, the third part, where you have just the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Well, that Holy of Holies is our spirit man, where the Ark, the true Ark of the Covenant, Christ is. Amen? And that's where the blood is sprinkled on our hearts. And then the holy place is actually our soul, right? Our soul. Our soul needs to be enlightened by the light of the candlestick in the holy place. Our soul needs to be nourished, amen, with the bread of life. We need to pray. Amen. And prayer produces a shalom, an aggressive peace that garrisons your heart and mind from cares, worries, and anxieties. That's your soul realm. Then the outer court, remember, even God's tabernacle is three parts. God's temple is three parts, and you are the temple of God. The outer court is the busiest place. You know, like I said just now, the priests are cutting, slaying, arranging, putting on fire, amen, removing the ashes, and busy, 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 washing, busy, 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 amen. But in the Holy of Holies, perfect peace. So you can be busy outside, you can be doing things, your responsibilities, but don't do it worried. Don't do it hassled. Don't do it, you know, thinking, what's going to happen if I don't do this right? I don't do that right. Just be at rest inside. So being at rest doesn't mean you sit down the whole day, even though it seems like it's happening nowadays and to all of us. But being at rest, you know, you can be sitting down and your mind is working. You're not at rest. Be at rest means you can be busy outside. You can be, you know, doing your work on online or whatever. But in your spirit, you are at rest. You are seated. Ensure that happens. Don't let anyone rob you of that. Amen. And God promises, what are you going to do with all the enemies that are still around? God says, you know what? Sit down first until I make all your enemies your footstool. So what am I saying? I'm saying, have this attitude. I call it the throne attitude. Okay? The throne attitude. In other words, the throne attitude is, I sit down, God will take care of my enemies. And the devil will say, you're so irresponsible. What are you going to do? And you tell the devil, it's not me, the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. I won't touch it. Amen. Just like the tithe is the Lord, I won't touch the tithe. The battle is the Lord's. I won't touch it. Amen. I'll just tell the Lord, Lord, this is your battle. What am I doing? I'm resting. And when I rest, He will make my enemies my footstool. And that's your footstool means a very personal application. All of us have this privilege of sitting down and seeing God make our enemies our footstool. Amen? Your footstool is a very personal application. I pray that all of us, family, I pray that all of us will come to that place of sitting down. We are already there. As far as God is concerned, God sees us there already. But if we don't realize it in our lives, we don't walk in it. Okay? And one of the pictures I gave to the church is early this year, my first sermon this year. And like I always do is to present the theme of the year. I pray the month before, which is December last year, and I'll pray for the theme of the year, and the Lord will give me the theme of the year. And the theme of the year for our church is the year of time and space. And who would have thought? Who would have thought that we'll be in a time where time seems to move so slow and space seems to be restricted? Yet the first two miracles of Jesus, the very first two miracles, the Bible says this is the first miracle Jesus did. The first two miracles of Jesus was the miracles of time and space. The first miracle, He turned water into wine. You know how long it takes to get excellent wine? Years. Even more years for excellent wine. You got to store it. Amen? So a few years to get the vineyard to produce good grapes, and a few more years for ordinary wine. And then to get excellent wine, you store it for 30 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years. You get really good wine. They're very expensive wine. Jesus compressed time in one fell swoop because He's the Lord of time. And He can compress time for all of us even during this time, my friend. Hallelujah. Let's pray in Jesus' name that He'll compress time for us even during this time. Amen. Because He lives outside time. He can accelerate time. He can compress time. Amen. When the time when the disciples were in the boat, they were in a storm, and He stepped into the boat, immediately, the Bible says, immediately the boat was on at the shore. Call it teleporting, whatever you call it. It happened. Time and space was transcended. And the second miracle of Jesus was a miracle done 25 miles, because Jesus was in Cana, the place where the first miracle happened. And a noble man from Capernaum came to Jesus and asking Jesus to heal his son back in Capernaum, which is 25 miles away from where Jesus was. Jesus says, go your way, your son lives. And you know what? 25 miles away. What vast expanse of space. And the Lord is the Lord of time and space. The boy was healed. Hallelujah. So even during this time, we see, you know, it's like we are confined in a narrow space. Our world has become restricted in space. But then, spiritually, God is bringing us to a higher place. You know, let me show you this picture of the Temple of Solomon, which I shared in the first part of the year as a theme of the year. And I want to show you right now our video that we showed the people for the first time in the first Sunday of this year. And little did I know, there are so many prophetic elements showing what we will face this year. Praise God. Amen. So now we see the Temple of Solomon, okay? And notice that there are three floors adjoined to it. This reminds me of what Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. This is where the priests and the Levites would live. This is where they stayed. And this is where they keep the storehouse of grain, wine, oil, as well as the gold and the silver. And it speaks to our day and age. Little did I know when I preached this, and the Lord gave me this early in the year, how these three chambers, these three rooms will be open to us in various times of this year. Amen? The first floor, as you step in, the first floor is the place of the grain, the wine, and the oil. Now, last year, I released a book on Holy Communion, and I went around America preaching about this truth that God is restoring to the body of Christ. And we are seeing all kinds of miracles. We are receiving all kinds of testimonies as a result of this teaching as well. And the church is rising up and realizing, whoa, you know, God doesn't want us to just remember Him once a while, but as often. Amen? And how that receiving that body is actually receiving wholeness and life and health for your body, amen. And little did I know also last year when the emphasis was on the communion in our preaching, in my preaching here in this church, in my tour all over America, that we are going to be ushered into a year where the grain, the wine, and the oil will be foremost. And it's the first floor. The first floor is where they gathered all the grain for bread, wine, and the oil. Amen. So you have the communion with the oil. Now, this is the firstborn blessings, my friend. When Jacob blessed, or rather Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, remember, all right, that the Jacob deceived his dad, all right, going in as Esau, the hairy one. But the father gave the blessing nonetheless. Notice that the blessing, the difference between Jacob's blessing and Esau's blessing, the firstborn blessing is greater. It has this phrase that Esau's blessing does not have. It says, God give you plenty of grain and wine. God give you plenty of grain and wine. The problem with us, the church, is that we have forfeited our firstborn blessing. We take the grain and wine as seldom. When the Bible says the blessing of the firstborn is plenty of grain and wine, that means we need to partake. If you have a condition in your body, you need to partake it like the way you partake medicine, three times a day. Maybe do it three times a day. I mean, give God the same, if not even more respect than you give your medicine. Plenty. You got to have plenty of grain and wine. Amen? And then you're enjoying the firstborn blessings. Hallelujah. So that's the first part of the year. And who would have expected that COVID-19 virus would hit in the first part of the year, right? So that's the first floor. And that's where they store the grain, the wine, and the oil. Now, the way from the first floor, by the way, I need to show you this, that in all the three floors, it's ever increasing. Look at me. The first floor is five. Let's look at the verse for this. The nethermost chamber, the first floor, was 5 cubits broad. And the middle was 6 cubits broad. And the third was 7 cubits broad. Can you see it? So the nethermost is the first chamber, was 5 cubits, middle 6 cubits, and the uppermost floor, 7 cubits, perfect number. Amen. So it's ever increasing. Now it might seem right now your space is ever decreasing, but God is saying, I'm giving you an ever increasing space. And we are seeing this happen, our online service, more people are tuning in than we would have on a given Sunday. This has never happened before. It's not just my testimony. It's a testimony of all my brothers and my fellow ministers all over the world. They are seeing an unprecedented move of God in causing people to hear the Word of God, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached like never before on an ever-increasing scale. Amen. And my friend, Samuel Smutja in Israel, just shared with me. He went online as well. He preached online and he said that it was just amazing. He had a call from, after he preached, he had a call from an ultra-Orthodox Jewish rabbi who called him and says, I've never heard preaching like that. He wants to know more. And Samuel led that rabbi to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And not just that rabbi called, there were others in Israel watching. People that will not be found or will not want themselves to be found in a church are tuning in. And that's the testament of many pastors and ministers. So even though COVID-19 virus is not from God, God is making use of the situation right now. Amen. As every family is hunkered down at home, amen, God is causing hearts to be open to Him. Amen. And this season is short, okay? So let's make the most of this opportunity. Let's redeem the time. Amen. So the Bible says the first floor is 5 cubits broad, then 6 cubits, it gets larger, then 7 cubits. Amen. It's like this. Praise the Lord. I wish I have more time to share that because I'll just leave you with this. From the first floor, you know how they go to the second floor? By the winding stairs. Verse 8, the door for the middle chamber was in the right side of the house, and they went up with winding stairs into the middle chamber and out of the middle into the third. Out of the middle into the third. Okay, watch this now. From the first floor, you know how you go up the second floor? By the winding stairs. By the winding stairs. Now, what is the truth of the winding stairs? By the way, this Temple of Solomon wasn't put in the Bible to fill up space. Amen? Every part of it, every width of it utters His glory, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So even the winding stairs, what's the truth of the winding stairs? What's the difference between a winding stairs and a straight stairs where you see the end? A winding stairs, the truth is this. You gain maximum height in the shortest amount of time. Gaining the maximum height in the shortest amount of time. One of our architects in our church took me to task, actually, after I said that in the first sermon of the year. And she's in building architecture. And she made a study of winding stairs. And true enough, she found out that you actually reach the top in a shorter time than a straight stairs. Now, friend, you can avail yourself of her studies. It's all very technical on Joseph Prince's sermon notes. Okay, it's available. And not only that, when you go up the winding stairs, you don't see the end. You just like this COVID-19 situation right now, you can't see the end of it. And God doesn't want you to see the end of it. Let's stop asking, how did this virus come about? There are all kinds of opinions. Is God's judgment? Is Satan's attack? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's, you know, but let's not worry. Is it from China? Is it from a biochemical plant? Is it from the bat? Is it from the rat? Is it from Gotham City? No, it doesn't matter anymore. Amen? And let's not worry about the ending as well, because Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. The provision that God gives you, the grace of God, and this is His wisdom, is only one day at a time. The manna fell in the wilderness for the children of Israel one day at a time. They cannot store today's manna for tomorrow because it will stink. Every day God gives you fresh manna. There is no grace to see the ending of it today. Amen? There's only grace to take one step at a time around the winding stairs. You can't see the end, but you're going higher, my friend. You're going higher and higher. You're going higher and higher to a wider place, to a wider space. Amen? You're having more rich, amen, than ever before. You're going around, and before you know it, you are there in a higher place. Like I said, God's way is always to ascend. Amen? To ascend higher. Praise God. Oh, I'm getting excited. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. So second floor, this second floor, 6 cubits broad. The second floor is a place where the priests would rest. This is where they sleep. This is where they lay aside all their labor and rest. Notice it's on a higher floor. It's a place of rest. I believe that God is bringing us all to a place of rest. I can see that even for the world, workaholics have no choice but to be in their homes. Amen? But let me talk to the body of Christ. Amen. God wanting us to rest. That sometimes it's necessary. You know, God says this, if you don't let the land rest every seventh year, God told Israel, okay, the time will come, you will go into captivity out of Israel and the land would rest. And that happened to them. One of the reasons why Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came and took them captive is given to us in the last chapter of Chronicles, where it says that to fulfill the word of Jeremiah, where God says, for every year the land didn't rest, I will let it rest in the 70 years of your captivity. So God wants us to rest, or else we'll rest in another environment, in a place where they all wear white, you know, and at the foot of your bed, it will say, rest. R-I-B-C, rest in bed completely. You have to make up for lost rest, lost Shabbat, Sabbaths. And I don't mean just a physical rest. I mean spiritual rest, my friend. Spiritual rest. Hallelujah. Seated in Christ in heavenly places. Amen? I believe we are coming to that place. Let me show you this verse. In Mark 14, Jesus said to his disciples, he's about to celebrate Passover. We just celebrated Passover, didn't we? Amen. Just this year. For us, Christ is our Passover. Amen. A few days ago, Jews everywhere observed the Passover like they did in the first Passover. Then there's never been a Passover in recent times or even in history where it was almost like exactly like the first Passover. But there is a prophecy among the Jewish sages, and the rabbis know it. It's from the Talmud, where it says before the Messiah comes again, the first Passover will be repeated just before, prior to the coming of the Messiah. Okay, we saw that happen a few days ago where Jews everywhere, you know, you don't find their young people or some of them who are secular going out there in the cinemas. Everyone is hunkered down. Everyone has to observe the Passover with their families. Amen? So notice this, that during this time of the Passover in Mark 14, Jesus said, go ahead. He sent two men to go ahead. And then he said, a man will be found with a pitcher. Now in those days, a lady would carry a pitcher of water. So when you see a man carrying a pitcher of water, it's a unique thing, a very unique sight. Follow that man. Who is he? A picture of the Holy Spirit. And he has a picture of living waters. He's carrying a vessel of living waters for you and your family. Follow him. Follow him and say to the, wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. A large upper room, furnished and prepared. Furnished and prepared. Then make ready for us. Friend, this is the second story of a Jewish home, usually a wealthy person. Okay? When Jesus says, I am bringing you and your families, and this is a prophetic word, I'm bringing you and your families to a large upper room. Ready, made ready, prepared, furnished, completely furnished. The Greek word there is actually prepared ready. One word, prepared ready. All right, it takes two words to explain one word in the Greek. Prepared ready. Furnished, like God promised Israel. I bring you, we have a picture of this in the Old Testament. I bring you to a land where you eat from vineyards you did not plant. You will drink water from wells you did not dig. And you will live in houses you did not build. What is that saying? That is saying that you enjoy rest through the work of another. Today we enjoy rest through the work of another. Amen. And we are risen with Him at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe that right now we are ascending to the next level where everything is prepared for us. That's why the picture there is the place of rest. That room is a place of rest because everything that you need has been prepared for you, ready for you. And you need to have the eye of faith to know that it's supplied. Amen. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about finances. It's made ready for you. It's furnished already. But where is it, Pastor Prince? Friend, we live by faith and not by sight. Don't forget, sight is temporal. You have money in your hand. You know what? That is insecure. That is temporal. But God will supply you with according to His riches, not according to the riches of a nation's wealth, not according to the riches of what is happening in the world's market, but according to His riches in glory. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's time for us to live in the supernatural, my friend. Amen. God is taking His people out of the natural where they have to trust the supernatural for supply. And it's forthcoming. And what is God saying to you? Sit down and I'll provide for you. I just finished teaching the church a few weeks ago on how Jesus made them all sit down before He multiplied the loaves and fishes. He says to them, and the Bible says He made them sit down on green grass in groups of multiples of 50s, of fives. And the Bible says He fed them. Notice position, being seated before provision. Just like in Psalms 91, sit down first. Position before protection. Amen. I'm sure that the people sitting down there when Jesus multiplied the loaves and fish were reminded when they sat on the green grass of Psalms 23. That's the Lord of Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Remember that phrase? He makes me lie down and lie down, recline. The word sit, by the way, in many places in the New Testament is the Jewish custom of that day. When they sit, they reclined. It's a posture of rest. Recline. Make them sit down before the supply. Position before provision. Are you seated, my friend? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, but live one day at a time. For the peace of your mind, don't look at the end. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What if? What if? What if? No, go up the stairs one step at a time. Be obedient. Show them Galatians chapter 5. Be obedient. It says, if we live, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in step, one step, as the Spirit of God shows you, one step at a time. One step at a time. One step at a time. You do not know that you are ascending. You do not know that you're going to a larger place. But you are, my friend. You are. Even during this COVID-19 virus, it seems like the more inward we go, the more outgoing we have, the more outreach we have. It's strange. It's strange. Every pastor is preaching by faith. Here I am with a camera person, one person behind the camera, and I'm preaching by faith. Amen? Amen? But that's how it should be. Our security is never in the people. It's in the Lord Jesus. Amen. The message is the same. And God wants us all to learn to live by faith. He wants us to live in the supernatural and not to rely on our senses and our sight. Amen, friend. Praise the name of Jesus. So He's bringing us to the next level. Amen. And next week, I'll be sharing on the uppermost chamber, which is very exciting. And it's a place where they store the gold and silver. Show them the chamber. Uppermost chamber, that's where the tithes and the gold and the silver, the treasures are stored in the uppermost chamber. That tells me, like, God opened up the first chamber, friend. He opened up the first part of the year. Who would have thought that we would enter into a season of the whole world in a crisis against this plague? But then He opens up the grain, the wine, and the oil. And I've taught the church on the oil as well, even the anointing oil, and how it plays a part during this time. Amen. The grain, the wine, and the oil is the answer to the COVID-19 virus. Amen. There is a truth that, you know, anything from the north in Israel, they consider it as an evil thing. Most of the time, the enemies of Israel will come from the north. Amen. Like the Assyrians, the Babylonians, okay, they'll come from the north. And the north wind is always a wind that brings blight. You know, if it comes at the wrong time, it can destroy their harvest. So north is always a picture of something that is adversity. Amen. According to Zechariah chapter 6, the pale horse, the horse that brings famine, that brings death, that horse is mentioned in Revelation chapter 6 as well, as the pale horse. But in Zechariah, it's a greenish horse, pale greenish horse. And the rider brings the same thing, plague, death. Notice where it comes from? It comes from the north. But if you look at the tabernacle, let's look at the tabernacle of Moses at this time. If you look at the tabernacle, the showbread is facing north. Can you see it? The showbread is facing north. Okay, when you enter by the east. And in the holy place, the menorah is at the south. By the way, the south wind is always something pleasant, something good, warm, amen, balmy. But the north, the table of showbread facing the north, is a table of showbread that faces the north. And the table of showbread is a picture of, again, communion. When you are in adversity, partake of the Lord's Supper. Amen. This was a posture John was in the book of Revelation. John, the beloved disciple. Amen. This was the position he was in. How do I know that? Because the Bible says he heard a voice behind him and he turned around and he saw the seven menorahs. So if the menorah is behind him, what was he doing? I believe he was partaking of the Lord's Supper. Just a personal revelation. I think you can take it or not, but it's exciting. Amen. So friend, God wants you in a place of rest. Rest and see God do all the rest for you. All your enemies, no matter what they are, God will cause one by one to come right under your feet. Amen. Under your feet means you have the victory over them. It's not you doing it. The battle is the Lord's. Look to Him. Trust Him. I feel like right now, there are people experiencing all kinds of healings already. There is a man, you have a pain that gives you a lot of problem getting up, all right, from the bed in the morning or from the sofa. I want you to stand up right now in Jesus' name. Your pain is somewhere here near your lower back. Stand up right now in Jesus' name. You'll find yourself healed. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. There is a man, I think you fractured your wrist. And right now, if you can just move that wrist and see what the Lord is doing. I know that if a fracture, but if God is speaking, something is happening right now and you're feeling warmth in that area in Jesus' name. Receive that healing right now. Praise the Lord. Glaucoma is being healed in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a man experiencing, and you have been diagnosed already. The doctor have given you medicine for your heart. You have a blocked artery. But right now, you feel like such a power, strength comes into your body. Friend, you are healed. You are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. See, you don't have to struggle to earn these gifts. You don't have to labor to receive healing. You are probably sitting down at home. Amen. Just receive it in Jesus' name. The gifts are paid for by another. They are gifts for us. Charismatas means grace gifts. That means they are grace. Charisma is grace gift from the word charis. Grace means unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. You know how this COVID-19 virus will end? Through unmerited favor. Many of us, we are in the wrong posture. We are trying to earn God's favor to defeat this COVID-19. God is saying, rest. Don't worry about where it came from. Don't worry about where it's going. Right now, take one step at a time. Live one day at a time. Follow my spirit one day at a time. Do the next thing my spirit tells you. You may not know it, but you're going higher. You can't see the end of this crisis or your personal crisis you're going through. But God is saying, you can't see the end, but I can. You're going by the winding stairs, the way of the stairs. Let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. Amen. God is still healing people, and a kidney condition being healed. Amen. All this you can verify and go back to the doctor and get the testimony. And please write to us here in our New Creation Church. Amen. Let us know what God is doing. Even as I say goodbye to you, there are all kinds of healing still happening in Jesus' name. Cancer being healed. Hallelujah. God is mighty in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody is being able to see your eye. Your eye is opening up. I do not know you have partial blindness or complete blindness, but you are seeing right now for the first time. A vision is being restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, I leave you with this verse. Amen. Romans 4. Show them Romans 4. Christ was delivered up because of our offenses, and He was raised up because of our being declared righteous. Friend, let me leave you with this gift. You are declared righteous because you know why? Christ was delivered at the cross for our sins, our offenses, and He would never have been raised from the dead if God had not declared us righteous. If His work at the cross was not perfect, God would not have raised Him from the dead because we'll not have been declared righteous. So, the very fact He rose from the dead, the same body that bore our sins at the cross a few days ago, rose from the dead without our sins. And there He is at the Father's right hand. Where are all our sins? Gone and gone forever. And let's put that Isaiah 53 as well. Surely He has borne our diseases. Where? At the cross. But there He is in heaven. Where are all our diseases? At the Father's right hand. Where is all our disease? Gone. So are yours right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Next week, we'll continue. Stay tuned, my friend. Amen. I'll be sharing on the uppermost chamber and the secrets that God has for us, because I believe that the church wouldn't have to worry about their needs being provided, because we are going towards the last part of the year. We're going to step, even right now, we are stepping into it already. We are stepping into the place of the upper chamber where the gold and the silver that God has stored for His people. So in the midst of the world, in financial famine, God's people are always supplied. You see that in the Old Testament, and we'll see that next week as well, as how we're going to come to that place. And God is happening prophetically even as I speak. Amen. We are ascending higher and higher and higher. You and your family. Amen. And you have never received Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. I want to give you this opportunity right now. If you're watching this, friend, your sins was placed on Christ. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In Him is no sin. But He bore your sin in His own body. All your sins was placed on Him. He became your substitute. And He died on the cross. As the scripture says, He was delivered because of your offenses, because of my offenses. And God raised Him from the dead without your offenses. Amen. That means what Jesus did on your behalf is perfect. God raised Him the moment God declared you righteous. So friend, if you want Him to be your personal Savior and Lord, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for the gift of Your Son, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank You, Christ was delivered for all my offenses. He suffered my judgment at the cross. And I thank You that You raised Him from the dead when I was declared righteous forever. Thank You, Father, in Your eyes, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus Christ is my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, please let us know what the Lord has done in your life. Praise the Lord in saving you and any good any blessing that you've received during this time. Just write in and tell them what the Lord has done in your life. Will you do that, please? Amen. And for the rest of you, let's believe God for a great coming week. Amen. We have passed the Passover. Let's be expecting a world that is different from now. Amen. And for the believer, you are not going into a smaller place. You're going to a larger place. Pray this prayer right now together with me. Father, I thank You that Your grace comes to me one day at a time. So give me grace now not to worry about my needs for the future. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, I receive the grace to walk one step at a time, to walk being led by the Spirit, to focus on what You have for me, and I'll not worry about tomorrow. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, this coming week, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and grant to you and your families His shalom, peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Are you or someone you love trusting the Lord for a healing breakthrough?
Just by hearing the word, it cleanses you. There's power, there's health, there's life. For they are life to those that find them. Health to all your flesh.
As a thank you for your gift of any amount, you can request Joseph's latest audio series and Healing Scriptures book. Through these resources, learn how you can experience God's power to restore health and wholeness in every area of your life. And for your gift of $75 or more, you can also receive Joseph's new 4-CD teaching series on the Song of Solomon, as well as an accompanying scripture journal for your personal study.
Where do you look when you look at your loved one? You look into the eyes. When Peter denied knowing Jesus, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. It was when Peter engaged with those same eyes that he wept. The Lord doesn't condemn us. The Lord loves us, and that's what broke Peter's heart. When the Lord looks at you, He says, you're beautiful. He's not saying that one day you'll be lovable. He's saying you're lovable now.
As you study the scriptures and feed on the Lord's unconditional love for you, let every fear and anxiety in your life melt away. This offer is available for a limited time only. Call us now, toll free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.